Vaishnavam for Lord Vishnu or his devotees. Nyagya sacrifice.
For performances.
Three kinds of offerings.
Purification.
Thereafter, in order to resume the activities of sacrifice, the brahmanas first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva, and they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Purodasha. Wherefore, Lord Shiva's followers and devotees, headed by Virabhadra, are known as Viras, and they host the demons. Not only did they pollute the entire sacrificial arena by their very presence, but they disturbed the whole situation by passing stool and urine. Therefore, the infection they had created was to be first purified by the method of offering Purodasa oblations. A Vishnu Yagya or an offering to Vishnu cannot be performed uncleanly. To offer anything in an unclean state is called a Seva Aparada. The worship of the Vishnu deity in the temple is also Vishnu Yagya. In all Vishnu temples, therefore, the priests who take care of the arch and the vidhi must be very clean. Everything should be always kept neat and clean, and the pusa should be prepared in a neat and clean manner. All these regulated principles described in Nectar Devotion. There are 32 kinds of offenses in discharging archana service. It is required, therefore, that one be extremely careful not to be unclean. Generally, whenever any ritual ceremony is begun, the holy name of the Lord Vishnu is first chanted in order to purify the situation. Whether one is in a pure or impure condition, internally or externally, one chants, remember the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Vishnu, one immediately becomes purified. The Yagya Arena was desecrated by the presence of Lord Shiva's followers headed by Virabhadra, and therefore the entire arena had to be sanctified. Although Lord Shiva was present and he is all auspicious, it was still necessary to sanctify the place because his followers had broken into the arena and committed many obnoxious acts. That sanctification was possible only by chanting the holy name of Vishnu, Chitka Pala, which can sanctify the three worlds. In other words, it is admitted herein that the followers of Lord Shiva are generally unclean. They are not even very hygienic. They do not take baths regularly. They wear long hair and they smoke ganja. Persons of such irregular habits are counted among the ghosts. Since they were present in the sacrificial arena, the atmosphere became polluted and had to be sanctified by Trikapala oblations, which indicated the invocation of Vishnu's favor. The great sage Maitreya said to Vidura, "My dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter for with yajur Vedic mantras in sanctified meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared there in his original form as Narayana." Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Any devotee who in sanctified meditation following the regulated principles chants the required mantras and service in a devotional mood to see Vishnu. It said in the Brahma Samhita that a devotee whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of love of God will perceive the Supreme Personality of God at hours situated within his heart. Lord Shyam Sundar is so kind to this devotee. Translation thereafter, in order to resume the activities of sacrifice, the Brahmanas first arranged to purify the sacrificial arena of the contamination caused by the touch of Virabhadra and the other ghostly followers of Lord Shiva. Then they arranged to offer into the fire the oblations known as Purodasa. my dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter with the Ajurveda mantras and sanctified meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared there in his original form as Narayana. So we see here a purification taking place, and then the appearance of the Supreme Lord Vishnu himself in person. So that was the intention of those particular mantras. So in other words, the purification and resumption of the sacrifice was carried out by invoking Vishnu. And then Vishnu actually made his appearance at this particular yajna. So yajna means worship. And as we have discussed before, various devatas may be worshipped, and Shiva also gets a portion as well as devatas. But ultimately, Vishnu is the final object of worship. So the method of worship is through fire. So various items are offered into fire. And Agni is like the mouth of the devatas. So he takes the offering and delivers the result to the devatas. Of course, we may think, well, he burns it up, so how does it get to the devatas? So that is the way of transferring it, by burning it up. It is made more subtle, and then the devatas take that in its subtle form. So he is the medium by which the devatas get the offering, so the things are burnt up. So therefore, items which are suitable for burning are offered into the fire. So grains and ghee and fruits and things like that are offered into the fire. And these end up with the devatas, or with the Supreme Lord. So, as I said, yajna means worship. So this is a type of worship. But it's not the only type of worship. So instead of using fire, one can use other elements as well. There is prescriptions for worshipping the Lord in water, or worshipping the Lord in earth, etc. So another form is worshipping the deity form of the Lord, which may be in wood or metal or jewels, etc., or in the mind. So these are other forms of worship. So though it may look different, actually, ultimately, it is worship of the Lord by offering items. And now the method is slightly different. So in yajna, the original method was chanting Vedic mantras for each offering. So, and concerning this, there are different rules. So there are rules for constructing the arena, constructing the fire pit, and decorating it properly, etc., purifying it, and then installing the fire, installing the implements, like the spoons for offerings, and the ghee, etc. So there is rituals, and all this is accompanied by mantra. So each act is sanctified by mantra. And then after everything is properly set up and purified, then offerings are made by pouring ghee and grains into the fire. And this is done with mantra also, all Vedic mantra. So this is the system set up for worship of the Supreme Lord through yajna, and of course the devatas as well. But there are other ways of offering. So as I said, one can offer to the deity form. So we also make offerings there. Instead of offering grains and ghee, which is for fire, suitable for fire, we offer other items, which are suitable for the deity form. So therefore, we offer bhog items and cooked items like that, like rice, and fruits and flowers and things like this, suitable for the deity, garlands, etc. So this is simply another method. The rules are different because it's not fire, etc. And the process of deity worship is from a different age. Treta Yuga was the age in which sacrifice flourished, and Dwarpa Yuga is the age in which deity worship flourished. So, not all Vedic mantras are used. We have Pancharatrik mantras used instead, a majority. So mantras are used, but Pancharatrik mantras are used instead of Vedic mantras. And there are also particular rules
and the Prabhupada's mentioned here in the purport, there are rules, seva aparas, things you should not do in front of the deity, so that's concerning deity worship. And then there's also items you should do. So these are the particular methods of worship of the deity. How to offer items, how to purify items, etc. And the specific order in which they're offered. So all of this constitutes archana or deity worship. This is another form of yajna worship. Then there's another yajna, that is sankirtan. So as the shastras say, the Kali Yuga method of worship is sankirtan yajna, another type of worship. So in Dwarpa Yuga, we had a deity form and we used pancharatrik mantras for worship and various rules. In Kali Yuga, there are no rules. All the rules are dispensed with, all of them regular rules. So there are no mantras and no rules. This sankirtan. So this makes it much easier for people because people are less qualified. Nevertheless, it is worship of the Lord. So in Satya Yuga, the form was manasik, meditation. And in Treta Yuga, the form was through fire. And in Dwarpa Yuga, the form is in deity form, whether it's metal or whatever, stone, jewel, etc. And in Kali Yuga, it is through sound. In any case, the Lord is present. He is non-different from the meditation, non-different from the fire, non-different from the deity form of stone or wood or metal, and he's non-different from the sound. So we do worship in different ways in different yugas. It is all yajna, it is all worship of the Supreme Lord. Of course, one can do worship of devatas and whatnot as well, but here we're talking about the actual process of devotion. So the Lord is worshipped in different ways by different processes. So here they are doing yajna, which was set up in Swayambhuva Manvantara at the very beginning of the day of Brahma. So this is one method of worshipping the Lord. And we will see it gave results, because we find here the Lord actually appeared, personally appeared. So the mantras and the sacrifices were sufficient for pleasing the Lord. The Lord does not appear unless he is pleased. Therefore he appeared in this case. So this is one method, and of course people are not qualified for this yajna at the present moment. Therefore we have deity worship in Dwarpa Yuga, and we have sankirtan in Kali Yuga. So if one chants sankirtan, chants the name of the Lord, this is also worship. I would say there's less rules, definitely, for this. But according to the amount of devotion, one gets different results, as in the case of all of these processes. Devotion is necessary in any case. But beyond the devotion, more rules are needed for all these different processes. And here we see that everything had to be purified and cleaned, etc. So in chanting the holy name, even cleanliness is not an item. So whether you're clean or unclean, you can chant. It doesn't matter. And of course, in the sacrifice there, only the Brahmins could offer, or at least the Dvijas could offer it. Most of it was Brahmins, sages offering the oblations. But in Kali Yuga, these considerations of Varna and Ashram are not there at all for chanting. So this is makes it more applicable, this type of worship in Kali Yuga. And of course, one does not have to learn procedures. So, besides the mantras, for which you need qualification, and the Vedic mantras, you also have to learn the whole procedure of sacrifice, which is very complicated. Or even deity worship, you have to learn procedures. You can't do anything you want. But chanting the holy name, no procedures. You just chant, that's all. So it also becomes easier in that way, because there's no procedure as well. This makes it more applicable for this particular age. And therefore everybody can participate. But, as I mentioned, according to the devotion, one gets different results. So therefore, we have things like Namabhas and Sudanam to distinguish. And of course, we have Namaparada. And by this, we get different types of results from chanting as well. So though the qualification is minimal, still, the more devotion one has and the more knowledge of the correct position of Krishna one has, the better effect we get. So therefore, though we say, okay, just chant, then we also do have instructions and knowledge, and we have shastras like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and Nectar Devotion and other works. All of this is there to add to the potency of the chanting that we do. So, though it is not absolutely necessary, one can begin from any stage. Nevertheless, in order to advance, we need all of this. And therefore, to do this, we also need devotee association in order to get the proper instructions. So, that is the qualification, proper association, proper knowledge. And then we can go on chanting very nicely and advance. So, in general, it is a simpler process than the other processes. But, because it is simpler, does not mean it's worse. The same result is attained. But it is easier, that's all. So therefore, why not perform this particular process? So this is the process meant for Kali Yuga. So the main process is this. Other processes can be done. But just as one can do Dharma, but one must worship the Lord, and if one does all Dharma and doesn't worship the Lord, it's useless. In the same way, with the chanting of the name, we have to have that devotion for the Supreme Lord in any case. And then we can chant, and we can do other processes as well. But we should never omit the chanting of the Holy Name. That's the main process. And so that process should always be there, in spite of all the other processes of bhakti that we do, such as meditation or deity worship or yajna or whatever. That chanting should always be there as well, because it is the main process.
So the chanting is just referring. If I
hear
most commonly from the Acharya Sampradaya, they had a person deities.
Yeah.
We also have deities.
Yeah. So all processes of bhakti are good. But I said the main process we cannot give up. The others we can do, but we cannot give up the chanting. So they can be done, but we also never give up the chanting as well. So there's no problem in doing all the processes. One can do one or many processes and get perfection, but in Kali Yuga we cannot give up the chanting of the name. So we do deity worship, we still have the chant. If we chant, don't do deity worship, we cannot be criticized. If we do deity worship and don't chant, then we can be criticized.
The chanting is removed by the best time. Most devotees, they will appreciate the deities at first time. And they post the chanting other times.
Well, they're doing reverse order. If they're only attracted to deities and not the chanting, then they're doing the wrong process. This is the Dwarva Yuga process.
Though the shastras say that chanting is the easiest process, still the status of the jivas in this Kali Yuga is not conducive enough to take up this process so easily. How can we overcome this?
Well, constant exposure. Even chanting inattentively or hearing inattentively or accidentally hearing has effect on the jivas. So the more they hear, the better for
them.
Well, of course, if it's related to devotional service, fine. But ultimately, the chanting means it's non-different from Krishna. That's attentive. That when you identify Krishna with the name and Krishna are non-different, that is realization. So one realizes form, qualities, name, pastimes, Krishna, etc. That is the goal. So, of course, service is included. So service is actually the highest. And so through the name one realizes one's service to the Lord also. It's also there. So there's nothing wrong with that. But if we become distracted with a particular aspect of the service and we forget about Krishna, then we're defeating the purpose. So we have to be careful also.
We're chanting Guru Dwara and sometimes the sixth. We worship the Granth Sahib. Keep the holy book in the body. Even in Quran.
There they worship the book.
The question is, there was a discussion that can we keep the Mahamudra, we claim for the altar. I think it's Mahamudra and just worship them. If they ask what is the Vedic worship.
Well, but actually we're doing Sankirtan, aren't we? We're not doing deity worship. That's our main process. One could, but we're doing deity worship then if we're doing that. So we should do actually Sankirtan and chant the name. That's our main process. They have these things where they write the names and they put them in a, seal them all up in a big thing. Okay, it's good for people to engage like that, nevertheless.
You mentioned that the amount of devotion and also the knowledge about Krishna will give that much of result. So this knowledge is limited with reading scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or we have to go beyond the scriptures or whatever we regularly take. Because if we take Srimad Bhagavatam, we will not learn many things about Srimati Radharani also in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Well, scriptures, the authorized scriptures written by the acharyas, anything, depending on what you require.
When the devotees become angry when they don't get sacrificial obligations to them, and we see particular leader, the question arises that devotees are supposed to be responsible leaders of the universe. Why do you get upset?
Well, because persons aren't following proper procedures, they're not worshipping anybody and they're just eating. So that's worse. At least they should recognize Devatas, if not the Supreme Lord. And if they don't, then actually they get bad karma and sin. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you should follow this process and make offerings. And then you get the rain, etc. If you don't, you don't get any rain.
The question is, why do Devatas get upset?
No, the main thing is that they should, that the rules are instituted for the benefit of the jiva. If they don't follow those rules, then breaking the rules, they must get punished. That's all. So the devotees are only following the rule. If they don't get the offering, they should not give the rain. So they don't give the rain. That's the rule. And then if people follow the rule, fine. They advance. They worship. And if they don't worship, then they don't get any advancement at all. Continue the process, not just do it once. It's a chakra, so you have to continually do the worship. Can't do once. It's a continuous process.
If I go over to the healer, give us a bypass. If I don't worship the healer, you can worship directly. So we can bypass the devata worship directly.
Of course, that's the Vaishnava principle. That's higher. This is karma. But bhakti is higher than karma.
So
we have to know what is excessive and what is not excessive. So in relation to bhakti and the Supreme Lord, there is no excess because the Lord is all-powerful. But in relation to devatas and other people, yes, they're not all-powerful. So therefore it is excessive. So one has to understand properly, that's all. So to think that the powers of the Holy Name are limited, then that's an offense to the Holy Name. Yeah?
Fire was produced by mantra. Yajna or by using so many food.
Huh?
The fire they produce for Yajna. Through mantras or through...
They say mantras or whatever. What they do is they have the Arani, use the Arani stick, and they chant mantras and they do that. But actually it's actually the friction, I think, that does it. There's a stick, and they turn the stick over the other piece of wood, and then they put a little bit of dry straw there, and it gets hot, and then it lights up. But they chant mantras when it happens.
This means only the fire in the
area
is real, and there's so many fires happening. Living is burning with the fire.
So that's a special fire that is produced through the Arani stick and the mantras. So that's very special. Of course, they do take for the daily sacrifices, they do take the fire from the kitchen for the daily sacrifice. The household is just a daily sacrifice, so it takes the fire from the kitchen.
The modern day we have is gas cylinders and other things. Those fires are different from the wooden.
Then it's not sacrifice.
Yandra Sri Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sonas Bal Maharaj ki jai. Mayur Dhirakya Manu Sopa ki jai. Nagot Pramanandi.
Hari Hari Bhagavatam.